Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. How's it going? This is Psychic X Journey Man here on Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. How you guys doing? It's like we're all open. Everybody's doing good. Call in for a reading. We're doing nature card readings today, and we're also going to give you some insights, spiritual insights, relationships. So therefore, keep it going, okay? See ya. I'm sitting here looking at the thing going, if you want to click this, you call 646-721-9031. We want to slow it down a little bit. I was working out earlier, so my energy is really high. So, and we're going to do a three-hour show tonight. We're going to be here until midnight. So we're going to be sitting down, counting down everything that goes along with it. You know, okay, when the ball drops, we're going to be here. So we're going to sit there and count it down, too, as well. But we're also going to get some insight on relationships, which it seems to be a very important thing for everybody because it's almost crucial. It's like looking at the ideal, the infinity symbol, and the ideal love between two people. It's the ideal how life works. When you send that kind of energy out into the universe, you attract people of equal, or you're also on the same page, okay? When you actually attract people into your life that are not on the same level, it means you are there to help them, but not in the same sense of being with them, okay? It could actually evolve into that later on. But see, the point is, I've heard this last freaking week, and it really just pisses me off, okay? If people sit there going, there wasn't no physical attraction. I don't like you. But then you sit back and watch the interaction, it's a contradiction. When you see people talking, communicating, having fun, spontaneous, just doing things, having fun, joking around, laughing, and the whole thing, people can see that connection. So as we always ask the question, how come people don't see the connection? Because they're not really focusing on the spiritual part that actually brought you together in the first place. I'm having people call me on the phone and say, I want to test you. I say, F off. Okay, if you're not trusting the connection between the two people, you're not trusting the connection that brought you to either to the show or either phone sites that I work for, you're not trusting what brought you there in the first place. So therefore, I can tell real quickly when you start asking me a test question. They don't understand. You're not testing me. You're testing yourself to listen to your intuition. So keep that in mind as well, okay, as we go into the show. If you want a reading, we're going to do angel stuff. So call in at 646-721-9031. Okay, I also do private readings. I have a shop in Manitou Springs, Colorado, called the Mystic Psychic. I got that wrong. The Mystic Closet Psychic Shop at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. We're right downtown, right across from Mushroom Mondays, and right next to the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. You can, if you're going to be here, you're going to be vacationing. If you're ever here, just having a good old time or whatever, and you want to stop in, we're right there, right next to the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. It's a purple door. Okay, there's a sign above the door. It says Psychic X Journey Man, so look for us. We love doing readings in person, too, as well. Okay, and then when you look at the situation, I also do readings in person, but also in private. So my private number is 740-500-8863. And right now, to get the things rolling for the new year, readings right now are going to be $1 a minute. That's right, guys, $1 a minute. If you call now and schedule a point where we're actually on the air, you'll actually get cheaper prices. Well, it'll be half of that, 50 cents a minute. So keep that in mind, too, as well. I do take phone readings. We also pay through PayPal. So sit there and take a look at the situation. And also go to my website to get an idea of what I normally charge. That website is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Again, that's www.psychicxjourneyman.com. The number is 740-500-8863. Or contact us in person if you're in town, if you're in the Colorado area, vacationing, whatever. And that is also the Mystic Closet Psychic Shop. And all you got to do if you want to call ahead of time, the number is 740-500-8863. I can actually be, realistically, I can be contacted 24/7. So keep that in mind. If I don't answer the phone, leave a message. I will get back with you as soon as possible. We also have the chat room open, so if you want to give a chat. We have Cheryl John in the freaking chat room saying, hello, how you doing? Happy New Year. Okay. And also this question, the idea, how do I do private readings? I have to say, no, doing readings here. Like I said before, if you call while we're on the air, I will schedule an appointment with you after the show. Okay, that's how we're going to do. We're going to do readings here and that kind of stuff. We're also going to get some really good insight. I also have a guest with me tonight, and I think it's the first time he's been here, and I'll bring him on now. This is Devin. How you doing?
Hello, Donnie. How's it going?
I'm doing great, man. Why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you do, and say hello to everybody. Happy New Year.
Yes, guys. I work on Aurum as Master David. I don't have a website right now, but I'm working on it. I do a list of things. I'm quality gifted psychic. I'm a master healer. I also work with numbers to metrics to help manifest reality. It's weird, but it's not so weird, I guess. Basically, okay. I'll go into that later. Anyway, I'm also really good at love advice. I help my friends out. Actually, I helped a buddy of mine get laid the other night. Just because he was feeling unconfident, and I gave him confidence again and empowered him to just try something different, and it worked. So, and he's doing a lot better off now, and he's doing a lifestyle change. He's actually eating fresh food, fresh veggies. He got a juicer the other day. I mean, he's doing good. Also, another friend of mine named Lexi, she got into backstage with my manifesting ability. The day after I did manifest, which took 24 hours. You usually feel it instantly, but it takes 24 hours to actually go forward all the way. But she got backstage pass to a concert, and the day after that, she found out she got a job for $7 a week.
Things happen. Okay. I just want to sit there and go further into the situation because the show tonight, I mean, we're doing readings and stuff like that, but too, I wanted to get some spiritual insights, relationships. And the thing is the idea I talked about before was the idea people don't focus on anything else except for the idea of connection when they don't focus on the other person. Actually, the idea of focusing on yourself is the important thing.
Yeah.
And I was focusing. See, the thing is, I was talking to some girl the other day, okay? We were sitting in the chat. We were sitting in my shop talking, chatting, having a good old time. And then she said, but I don't feel no physical attraction to you. See, people don't get it. And they wonder how come the world's so screwed up right now. Because the world is looking for chemistry. They're looking for physical attraction. At the same time, they're looking for the soulmate, not realizing they're not the same. They're totally different.
Well, Donnie, I would like to open up right now with giving you a reading of love inside, I guess.
Sure.
Is it okay if I say your name? I believe she's listening right now. That's the thing.
No, if you would not, please.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, just for privacy.
Okay, well, the individual I'm focusing on really cares a lot about you. She likes it when you joke a lot. Like, she thought I was really funny a second ago when you mentioned that, so. Yeah, she's very happy-go-lucky, very charismatic, fun, peaceful. You two kind of wrap heads around each other, so to speak, but in a good way. But it's kind of like
right.
A complex type of ordeal, I guess you could say, going on right now for you.
Okay.
Yeah, you two both feel alone right now, not connecting to anybody love-wise, except maybe each other. Well, except each other, that's for sure, but...
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm getting mixed up with emotion. Yeah, that kind of irritated her, I guess.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
Just let me say one more thing, okay? I want to tell everybody we're doing a 3-hour show tonight, so if you get in the queue, just be patient. We'll definitely get to you, I promise. So therefore, we also want to sit there and say we don't do mini readings. I don't like mini readings. So when you call in, you ask your questions, we do readings, okay? So we want to give you a full picture of what we do, okay? So for when you ask a question, we're going to give you all the answers, give you all the information, insight, direction, whatever it takes, okay? If it takes 20 minutes, it takes 20 minutes, okay? So therefore, keep that in mind. So if you be patient and wait, we'll get to you. And back to Devin.
A deep connection surrounds you two. Deep feelings of... Wow, that's really good. Grace, basically. You guys, when you're connected, you just, like, room gets lighter. You feel lighter. You feel happier. Like, true love lasts. Everlasting sound.
Mm-hmm.
Deep a connection. Love matters. No more giving
love
in to your fears. The fear of losing your love.
No, let go of my fears, huh?
Yeah, that's what's really been affecting me the most lately, Donnie. And that's also what kind of turns her off a little bit, because you don't let go of your fears.
My fears?
Fears of being alone again when after you found somebody. This is hard to get wrapped around, I guess, fully for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming basically from her. She has a deep interconnection of awareness as well, which is why you've been attuned to her more so than the other person you've ever met before in your life.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a tranquil river rushing down your veins.
Okay. I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Mhm. Okay, let's switch it to how about some money? You know what they always say, you can't have a honey if you don't have any money. And I was sitting there focusing on, there's a lot of things up in the air right now where I just want to get some things off my shoulders, out of, you know, trying to get the rents paid. Cause,
what can Donnie do right now to make money right now?
What? Say it one more time.
I'm asking the pendulum what Donnie can do. Well, I don't really need a pendulum, but I'd like to use it to help me boost amplify my power. But Donnie Reed,
okay.
I asked, well, how can you make money right now? And reality, this is interesting. It says that you should do a co-op, like go into a partnership.
A what?
And start investing in small things, and that won't cost a lot to design or make. Those small things will be invested in. They can be bought for like $1 to $5 a piece. And basically, after you invest into that, and it only costs you so much for your investment and to get the prototype done. But if you start making small inventions like that, which you're really good at ideas because just of ordinary life and just, you know, concepts, you'll increase your cash flow tremendously. On that perception, I mean, you can become your own CEO boss and help pursue your career goals and everything else work out for you. It's not just a book, but it's a job guide you can make, a job guiding deal, especially if you do make a book, a job guide would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Gift of Love would be a good title for another book of yours.
Mm-hmm. So, what is there, many books?
I see you writing 2 to 5.
Kind of sounds good.
One's going to be about heightening abilities. One's about to soar into the horizon. One's about the many colors. Caring is loving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, I was sitting there focusing on something else. I've been kind of I got to keep track of this chat room.
Actually, how do you get me onto that chat room? Where's the chat room at? I need the.
I'm sitting there focusing on things and that kind of stuff. It's like this. I was reading what was in the chat room, and it says physical attractions and soulmates can be the same. No, they can't be, because you have to have the spiritual connection first before the physical attraction even happens, because it's not true love. True love is spirit. The physical body is like putting it in perspective. The human body is transportation. It's to get you from A to B. It's your protection for your soul, your spirit. I mean, it's actually been said the ideal, the aura, is emanated from the soul to protect the body. So it's like they work one and the same, yes, as in protection, working together as a unit. But what you're going to sense first is the essence of a person. you're going to know, something's going to come over you. We've had this before, too, where people talk about, hey, you know, something, I feel like something's going to happen. I'm going to meet somebody. Then they do. They don't realize it had nothing to do with the physical attraction. Okay? It had to do with the spirits, the souls, and a soul connection. That's what brought people together. That's what brings people together. Now, human beings can also force the situation and sit there and make something out of something that doesn't exist. Okay, by the physical attraction. So, well, since there's a physical attraction, there has to be more. See, the thing is, you don't, realistically, you don't say those things to yourself when the process of meeting your soulmate or a soul connection. It just is, and then you fall in to the point where you just follow through and you start talking. You don't ask each other, basically, when you first meet each other. You don't ask, do you like certain things? What happens is you just keep crossing paths. You keep communicating. Like, for example, when I met this one person, I was wearing a Superman shirt. And that morning, I questioned back and forth, should I wear the purple shirt or should I wear the Superman shirt? Okay? I was questioning myself, but something kept on saying over and over again, wear the Superman shirt. And then I found out she's a real strong Superman fan. So you see, you have to listen to yourself. But what's going on in that connection is the soul, the spirits are talking to each other. It's the essence of who you are. And I think sometimes the body has a tendency to get in the way. The physical attraction, if it's brought into the first and the foreplay, it can actually, or the forefront, that's kind of, this is not a sexual show. Anyway, but when you bring it in the forefront and you put sex into the situation quicker than you should, it can actually hinder and the relationship stop maturing from then on. I mean, it's just a sexual thing. Even if you do have a soulmate connection or a spiritual connection. If you bring this physical in too soon, and it's always different for every people. But, you know, one thing about the situations, too, that people don't realize, just because you don't have that initial at the beginning doesn't mean it's not what it's supposed to be. It's the ideal, looking at the situation and still looking at certain things that are still happening that will be a sign for you. So, okay, maybe you try to put physical things in the forefront, and it didn't work out. That just means the souls are wanting to get to know each other more before they cross that boundary, that threshold. They want to sit there and work on everything, okay? But I'm saying right now, when you look at the situation of soulmate, people are using the physical connection as a sign for that this is what's supposed to be. It's not. It's like looking at people. You talk, you communicate, you laugh, you have a great time, you're loving everything, things are going good, you're just having this fantastic, awesome time. That is spontaneous. It's happening. You don't have to do anything. It's just going forward.
Sure will.
The best thing to do is just let go, let it happen. And I guarantee you, with that kind of interaction and all the things that you do have in common, help you lay down the resistance where you just know for a fact. And also listen to your heart, because your heart, it's like when you talk to that person, your heart will say a lot of things to you. It's also been said that the heart itself is like the brain. It has its own energy field. It actually has memories and certain things going on. And what you need to do is what's so important to let go of baggage. Because if you got certain things that you're still hanging on to in your heart chakra, it can actually block the connection you're having with somebody where you're not reading it right because you're letting these memories from past experiences come through. So when you sit there and look at the situation, that's what I was saying, because I see a lot of people go, well, you know, it's like I was telling a woman before, and she said, well, this guy didn't follow through, so I guess it wasn't really a true connection or bond. Yeah, it was. We have to realize that person also has free will, and he can do what he wants, good or bad. If it's good for him or bad for him, he's going to do what he wants to do. And we hope he embraces it, because it is what it is. And maybe that's why he's running away, because he doesn't think he's worthy or deserves it. And I wish people would sit down with him and say, you know, anything that you attract into your life, that's like you deserve what you desire. So just let it happen.
Don?
Yes.
Don? Yeah, 9 times out of 10, though, reality usually compensates the problem in the situation with the relationship. I mean, in reality, that's the worst problem that there is, because one person has lacked confidence, and then they start feeling depressed, and then they start turning into their own victim.
Right. I was just saying, that's what I'm saying. The person's doubting themselves because they thought the connection, the bond wasn't real when it was because of somebody's action.
For instance, with you, I remember a while back, you were doubting yourself for a little bit, and then you were getting depressed when bad things were happening, but Then you slept out and yourself, good things started happening, and you found this wonderful connection. So, I mean, I'm happy for you, man.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, you can change it. But the thing is, if any kind of situation, the best thing to do in a relationship is to not attach yourself to somebody. Detach and respect individuality on both parts.
Yeah.
But individuality is very important to a relationship because it shows two people coming into the whole thing have a very strong identity. Okay? They have their own identity, which means they have their own foundation. And they come into the situation bringing two good foundations together, and we have a great one, which develops a great relationship.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when you center and focus on your heart chakra or your heart, when you connect with somebody, that's where the connections of bonds are, not to the freaking head. So if you've been thinking too much, then you're tapping into past experiences, and you're tapping into your fears and that kind of stuff, when you should be bringing it down to the heart and say, okay.
Rely on my fear. That comes off your heart chakra, that heat, that passion, that feeling of life itself.
Yeah, it'll radiate.
When you find out with a person, mm-hmm. then there's a difference between lust and actual love.
Right.
Lust, you'll probably be thinking too much in your head, like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. But in your heart, though, when it's love,
you know.
You'll be finding, like, your own inner peace. You'll be, like, you're on heaven. You'll feel like grace itself shining on you. That's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true love right there. And when you find somebody like that, don't let that go.
No.
Look for it. Do not let it go. I mean, situations might be odd or off, but, you know, patience is a virtue as well, so.
Yes. So I just want to tell everybody out there, if you're calling in and you don't have a question, that's fine. We're doing angel card readings today, so therefore, just see what the cards say, and then we'll go from there. If you have a question, that's great. But we'd like to have some kind of question that you would like to ask about some infractions you've had in the past with relationships, any idea how could you correct them? So that could be like a question, I guess, but we do have a caller in the queue, so let's go to them and see what's up. This is actually a private call, so I'm not really sure the number, but you're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Oh, hi, I'm Cheryl.
So hello, Cheryl.
Hello, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm
Where
the
you
one
from,
who's
Cheryl?
chatting with you about love.
Yeah, I know that.
So you were saying that love is all, you know, you have to think about it. You know, it can't all be physical and hormones and listen to your heart. I mean, it all has to connect, you know, your head, your heart, but have the physical attraction. It all has to connect, because if it's just one, then it's off balance.
Well, it's one of those things where when you meet the right one, there's a certain calmness and a certain knowing that you know. And that's when I was starting to tell my friend, I've had a lot of clients I've had, they said, oh, I just love the butterflies. I said, the butterflies could actually be telling you of a situation that you don't want to go into. Because it's your soul. It's actually your solar plexus is acting up, which is the chakra in charge of power and control. So when it acts up like it does, it's actually tapping into something that you don't feel. You feel powerless, or you don't.
You know, I've been in love. I'm in my 50s. I've been in love a few times. You know, it doesn't last
I'm just
forever.
But this is the question. It does last forever, because every one of those people that you ever had in your whole life, you have fond memories somewhere in there, so therefore you never stop loving people, because that's who we are. I ask the question, this is the question I ask a lot of people, and a lot of people can sit there and argue with it, I don't care. Love is you, and you attract every freaking thing into your life, people, situations, opportunities, everything that you need, you attract, okay? And this, I don't want to hear the word about the law of attraction either, okay? It's just a matter of a fact that we have this thing within ourselves called a soul, a spirit, which is actually the energy itself is pure love. So we are love. So love lasts forever because we reincarnate and we come back and learn more things about ourselves. So therefore we can actually love ourselves more to the point where it's unconditional, and we'll start attracting those kind of situations and opportunities into our lives that says, love is you. Okay, look at people who don't like themselves.
The attraction is you're just paying more attention because you're more aware. You know, there's stuff around you all the time. It's just a matter of paying mm-hmm. attention and being aware of it, so that when it's there in front of you, you notice it.
Yeah,
I mean, how many opportunities slipped through our fingers and walked on by because we weren't paying attention and didn't even think to even notice?
if it's things me personally, I don't believe we miss anything. I think everything happens for a reason because of the choices we make. And when we find the right one, the reason we see more opportunities, we see more within a person, and we see more within ourselves because our guard is down. We feel relaxed to be ourselves, so we're more open, and we're also letting our resistance down so we can actually see more what's out there, so we can actually take advantage of it.
Well, it's a very relationships are very complex.
All I can say is
I've been married 25 years, and I don't know how I lasted 25 years, but we're still here together. it's work. It is a lot of work.
I'm about to say the work's a whole lot easier if you learn to also realize one thing. We all reflect each other. Okay? Some people say, well, this guy doesn't do this. Well, you don't know that. He doesn't know that because he's never actually done it. It's like having somebody say, I'm allergic to peanuts. They're just assuming they're allergic to peanuts because they never really had the opportunity to eat peanuts. All of a sudden, you give them peanuts, they love it. It was just one of those things. They changed it, but it was something within themselves that they did have. And then when a person or a situation came about, they were actually ready to experience something new. Then they started realizing it's always been a part of them, just the opportunity never came up to actually experience it. All I can say, because I have the same conversation with my friend who goes by past experiences. And I sit there and say, well, I'm not trying to say I have one up on you, but I do, because I work with thousands and thousands of people. I have a shop, a radio show. I'm always working with people, so I get to see a lot of examples and a lot of people and a lot of perceptions and a lot of opinions. So what I do is, it's my thing of psychology. Psychology, it's kind of funny, psychology is so hard. When it's actually the study of human behavior, which what are we in the true sense of that this physical body is human. But we don't really know a lot about spiritual stuff to the point where it's still something that's evolving. Psychology has been around for, I think, 100 some years. And then you sit there,
right.
I sit there and go over this, and I talk to my angels about everything. So they sit there and say, you know something? Do you think psychology and the idea of getting insights to human beings came from human beings? No, it was a spiritual insight from another person who had a dream or awakening to develop these things. So it's all spiritual in some sense of the word. It's just that everybody wants to put a title on it to make it more understandable instead of actually looking deeper into the situation, which also helps us to look deeper within ourselves. Because all the answers, if you're looking out there for the answers, that's where the confusion comes in. When you're looking for the answers out there, outside of a relationship, that's why it's complicated, because we're looking for worldly perceptions and worldly answers, not realizing it's really coming from why was you attracted to this person? Why are you with this person? And why did you go through the endurance?
Well, you know, when I met my husband, I knew he was going to be my husband the night I met him. It actually went through my head the day, the night I met him. It's like I automatically knew. I just knew when I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. If I could go back to do this again, I think I would have, I don't know if I'd do it again. So anyway.
But you got to look at the situation.
It's been a rocky road. Huh?
Look at the thing differently. What did you learn throughout this course of being with this person? Not the infractions, but what did you learn?
What did I learn? Lessons learned in 25 years with my husband. Wow. How much time do you have in this show? Again, how much time do I have to answer that question?
We still got 2 hours and 25
minutes. 2 hours to answer that question? Okay. 25, okay, lessons learned. We're of different cultural backgrounds, and it's very difficult. It's very hard when you're with different cultures because the kids, it's a tug of war. Which culture you're going to raise? My kids are older. They're young adults. So they're moving on their own and finding their own way in life, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's where I am in my life in raising children. But in raising children, it's a tug of war. Which culture do you raise your children in? My husband is from the south of France. He's Mediterranean. And I am of Scandinavian ancestry. And so I wanted to raise my kids in a Scandinavian community and a culture group and so forth, so on. And my husband, he wanted his to be more continental, more, you know, all this. I says, well, that's all fine and dandy, you know, and then I'm trying to remind my kids who they are and what they are, and it's a tug of war.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very frustrating, okay? That, I feel, is very important in selecting a mate. I should have been a little, someone should have sat me down and given me a little pep talk as to the realities of the difficulties I would face, because it's he has not been helpful at all. The second thing I learned in my 25 years is
mm-hmm.
we were both raised Catholic. And so that was important to me in choosing and selecting a husband. And
mm-hmm.
so because I thought it would be nice to be on the same page. You just can't let your hormones run your life and make the decisions for you. You know, you have to have somewhat of lists. Eventually, you know, hormones calm down and you have to crawl out of bed. I mean, I actually had the discussion not too long ago with somebody, and they said, oh, my God, I can't believe you're saying this in multi-generational table. I said, well, you got to crawl out of bed sometime. Honeymoons don't last forever. Let's face reality. You know, and you have to have something in common. There has to be a common weave. It's your ancestry, your cultural background. It's the celebrations of life that you share with two sets of families. It's your religious background. It'd be nice to go to church. Well, we were both raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought all was good. We even went to church together before you got married. Well, here's a lesson learned. Just because you're raised one way and you go to church with someone one way, they could be holding out on you that they're really atheists. You know, he ended up being an atheist, and he will not go to church with me. And I thought, although he did relinquish and allow me to teach my sons, I have two boys, about God, but I had to negotiate with him and turn my cheek about some of his behaviors to be able to do this. It was a compromise, and it's hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
He has been a nightmare to raise kids with. I would never raise kids with this man again, ever. I mean, he's a nice guy. Everybody loves him. He's a great guy. But to raise kids with, no way, ever. You know, it's you have to have some common ground when you marry someone. I mean, it's all nice to have a big happy honeymoon, you know, in a hotel room, you know, forever. But you got to crawl out of bed for it at some point in time. I mean, they say the honeymoon's 2 years. I mean, sometimes they don't even last that long, a year, 6 months, whatever. But, you know, there has to be common ground. You have to have religion. You have to have the ancestry. It's very, very difficult. It's very hard. And the kids, when you raise your kids, I've even seen other families, it's a tug of war. Or you relinquish it altogether so that there is no tug of war, you know. And if it's important to you, you have to know who you are. My sons have told me one went one way, one went the other. You know, one went my culture group and the other went my husband's. That's a division. We're not on the same page. I'm like, you know, this is sad. And my neighbor next door, you know, his mother was Caucasian and she married a Filipino. She had two sons. One son married a Caucasian woman and one son married a Filipino. It's a total division, and I'm like, my kids were younger at the time, and I went and I talked to her. I says, and then my other neighbor next on the other side of me, her mother's German, and her father's Mexican, and she had two daughters, and her one daughter married a Caucasian, the German, you know, she married a Caucasian, the other daughter married a Mexican, and it's a division. And this is, my kids were little, and I'm seeing on both sides of me, and now it's me. I have two boys, and one boy identifies himself, his father's side, and the other son identifies himself more along my lines. It's a division. It's not easy, and it's a tug of war. And at some point, your kids are going to decide which way to go. And as far as religion, both of them believe in God. So at least I did something. You know, I'm like, thank you. But it's a very difficult road. And these are some of the lessons that I've learned. And if I could go back, I would rethink. I would rethink this. 25 years, you know, I mean, he's a fun guy, but he has not, he's been horrible to parent with. But that's relation, we're talking relationships, and that's relationship issues and raising children. I don't know where you two fellows are and what season of life you're in, whether you're singles looking for a wife or raising kids or what have you. But I'm in my 50s, almost 60, two young adult boys, very different from each other. So I've been down that road, and these are some of the lessons in my life. And, you know, it's hard. I don't know if I'm making any sense, or sounding ridiculous.
You made a lot of sense because I was there. Let's continue to talk about dividing. There's no dividing. It's people choosing their own path. And the ideal, I would go back and I went back when I was married, too, and rethink the whole thing. And what the one thing that got in the way was ethnic backgrounds and religion. And I started realizing if you take those two out, why? There was a statistic that we did not too long ago where we said, okay, people who go by the worldly perception of what marriage and all that kind of stuff is about, it's about 65% divorce rate. Christians, religious people, it's about 30 to 35%, maybe 45% for divorce. But when you get down to spiritual, people who are really spiritual, who actually look at people and the idea of realizing what love is really all about, it almost drops down to zero.
Well, see, you know, it's these connections, these common connections that weave a family together. It's like a quilt. A family is like a quilt, and you have to have something common for the celebrations of life. You know, whatever your religious background, you have celebrations. Whatever your cultural background is, you have celebrations. And
I know that,
identifying yourself to one of the, and that's the that is the thread that weaves that quilt of your family together.
Yeah,
and it's not.
Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I'm going to say that love itself, in the truest, purest form. Okay, it's like religion, Christianity, and religions. One thing they talk about is love, but the one thing that keeps getting knocked out of the whole thing, realistically, when you talk about family and stuff like that, is God and love. The two main factors that could give you that same effect of having that webbing to everybody in the relationship and in your families. It's just to love each other. It's like two people who reflect each other. If they would just realize love is it. Love is you. And all you're doing with living down your resistance is being able to share more of yourself. I understand what your religion and the whole thing of how you've been raised, so it's kind of hard to work with that whole thing, but it's something's been passed down from your family and it's carried on. And your husband, he keeps saying he doesn't believe in God. He's full of it. Because he has a tendency, if you watch his actions are totally different because of the way he raises his kid, he does it the way he's been taught, which is actually based on a religious background. So therefore, he's a contradiction.
He went to church with us at first when we were dating and when we first got married. Mm-hmm. And then when we had the children, he backed off. And then he says, you know, Cheryl, I cornered him I said, well, we need to go to church. We need to start raising the boys, take them to catechism. They need to know who God is. I was trying to teach them how to pray. It comes to a point where he was forced to tell me. He had to tell me, I don't believe in this. You know, there's no proof. And so, and I'm going, what are you talking about? I mean, I was floored. I said, you allowed me to believe that we were both on the same page here. He says, no, you wanted to believe that. You never asked me. I said, what do you mean I didn't ask you? We went to church together. We're both raised Catholic. Your family, my family. You know, we went to church together. He said, but you never came out and asked me You assumed I believed because I went to church with you. I was escorting you to church.
Yeah, but he's got to take the responsibility of his freaking actions of going to church. Which, who wouldn't assume that because he said, yes, I'll go to church, which means, yes, I believe in you.
Well, you know, from his perspective, we have gone through this before with argument with him.
Mm-hmm.
And his argument was, I went along with you, I escorted you, I wanted to make you happy, you know, you were happy, you wanted to believe whatever you wanted to believe, and I just let you be, it made you happy, and I let you and allowed you to be happy. He does not see...
Yeah, he does. He's making excuses. Listen to what he said. He said that he assumed. So therefore, he knew what you were thinking. He could have stopped it at any time.
That would be my argument.
I'm just saying he's not the problem. He's just who he is. And he didn't really disclose who he really was completely. And I think there's some things when he told you his preferences and stuff that before you got married and after you got married go to the church, I believe that he still believed. And there was something in that space of time that he changed his perception. And I think it's the idea of raising kids that scared the heck out of him. And the idea of how you're going to portray this whole thing. Something about the whole thing didn't work with him. So I think he's actually denouncing he doesn't believe he's in the Catholic faith, but I think he still believes in God.
I don't know. I don't know. Because it's some people have this mindset that if there's no proof, because it doesn't just hit with religion. It hits across the board, even with political issues. There's no proof. Where's the proof? I want to see the proof. Is there tangible proof? Did they catch him? Proof. I mean, if he was a judge, mm-hmm. you would have a very high standard of proof to get his mind to change. It's very difficult because it's across the board. It's not just that. It's mm-hmm. actually with political issues. We're like on different pages about a lot of things in life. So it's just how his brain functions.
That's true. What you can understand, I'm just saying he's not the problem. He's just who he is and the ideal two personalities and two things like that. But when you start looking at certain things, I was just saying that some of the things he's got going on, it's almost like a progression with him, too. So he's changing things as he goes along. I think the idea of denouncing religion and God is the idea he doesn't know, and the idea of proof is everywhere. I told a person this once before. I said, you know something? If you can't look at the world and look at this freaking world, I guarantee if you go around this complete world and look at every person, meet every person, the one thing you're not going to see is an identical personality. And that doesn't prove God exists because humans can't do that. They can't mass produce things, but they can't mass produce a car on an individual basis with personality, essence, soul. They can't do that. But they can on another level when two people get together of creating a baby. See, when I raised my kids, I denounced both my mom and my dad. And that's how I raised my kids on what I felt intuitionally I should do. And it's the idea, I guess it's different with me because I have this thing, I've always done this. I mean, I've been known in my psychic ability since I was 10 years old and I drowned. I had a very bad drowning accident, so I don't recommend people going through that kind of stuff to awaken their psychic abilities. But when I started doing that, I started seeing people in different ways, and everybody had a distinct personality, had a distinct essence of who they were. That's why I can't remember people's names half the time, because unless their name is really a part of their essence of who they are, I have a tough time remembering names. But I don't forget people. I never forget people. I always remember everything about them, essence and everything. And when I started to focus on my kids, the one thing I wanted them to do too is because they have the same abilities that I do, and they're going through awakening of their own. So I told my daughter, when you get to the point where you make your own decisions, make your own decisions. I mean, I want you to do what you feel you should do, even if you disagree with me. I want you to do what you should think, what's best for you in your life, because it's your life. I'm living mine. I think you have the right to live yours. And it even says in the Bible that when you become of age and you marry, that's your priority. That's your family. And the family that raised you goes to the back seat. You know, they don't. If they interfere, they're being disrespectful to what you're creating. And the same thing. So, but you see so many families going, this is what you should do. And I think they're being disrespectful because they've lived their lives. They're making decisions for their own life, but they want to still continue to make decisions for you. I think when they once they hit 18, actually when they hit, when they start hitting 10, they got their own little personalities anyway. But I'm just saying that worked for me. Sure, my ex-wife, she really didn't have an idea how to raise kids. So you have to take that. That was a lot of responsibility. But, you know, when you start looking at the situation, you got to do what you got to do. I understand that point of view, but there's always a positive aspect. And when I sit here and say, what did you learn? I was looking for more of the growth that you had through the years that actually brought you to the point where you're at now, where you feel more confident with yourself and the ideal. Because you talk about decisions that you should have made, and I did it. But see, the point was you made a decision, and you went down this path. And the idea of taking this path was basically for you to learn more about yourself and your growth, your strengths, your weaknesses, that kind of thing.
These are lessons in life. These are, you know, those were lessons, you know, just lessons in life and going down this road and what you see. Mm-hmm. But my growth, I don't know, it's just... I have to think about that more. You know, those are just, I don't know. But lessons in life do teach you things. I appreciate more my ancestry. But I think that a lot of people, you know, they take it for granted because they're too busy growing up and stuff like that. That's something that the elders of the family have to teach the younger generation, because it, you know, and I can remember when I was younger asking a lot of questions to my grandfather, and and so as I was older, I started, you know, you become more inquisitive as to the family ancestry, and so and then you do your family tree and all that, and you start asking questions. But I think that didn't come up until later, but for a lot of people, it is later in life. When you're in your 40s, maybe you start wanting to do the family tree thing and asking questions.
I don't know. The more I got in my family, the less I wanted to hang out in the tree.
Well, you know what I mean by family tree. That's your ancestry. Your and so forth.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying from my point of view, when I started looking at those past experiences, I started looking past this lifetime and going back to many lifetimes. And it seems like the idea of family... I guess I got a different perception because they always tried to direct me into a certain direction. And I was just like, you know, I just had to go with my own intuition of what I should do and what I did. And my mom to this day still doesn't like what I do for a living. And she said I'm destined for something more. But the one thing she never took an interest in is the idea of finding out what I do, reading. She doesn't realize it's life coaching, talking to people, running to people.
You know,
people
you will find that if when you go, you know, it's interesting when you do your family tree and your ancestry, you'll be amazed. You know, and I've talked to other people who from different families who've done their trees as well. Is you will find a common. Like things again and again and again from one generation to the other as far as skill sets. And you will find, like, your psychic ability, you will find that there's other ancestors who have this gift.
Yeah, my mom did, my grandmother did, my great-grandmother did, and that's as far as I've gone back. But they used to talk about, my mom was always, it's kind of funny, she doesn't believe in psychic stuff, but she's always saying, I have a feeling. And that's what I do. But it was kind of, my grandmother was always a person. It seemed like she always had everything she wanted. She wasn't a rich person. And if you looked at her, you might look at her and say, well, you know, she really doesn't have enough. But if you talk to her, she has everything she needs. And that was the situation that people were looking at. They were looking at what she should have instead of who she is. We had this conversation about Superman where I thought this last movie they just did actually explored the man more and the personality. That people keep looking at superpowers and what he can do for the sake of the world. They never look at the person. And I think a lot of people are like that too, where they don't look at the people. I mean, my sister just found a picture of her great-grandmother on my father's side. This woman looked just like my sister. That was kind of freaky because she sends me the picture. I said, well, you don't send me a picture of yourself. She goes, it's not me. It's our great-grandmother. I said, oh, really? That's interesting. Now you know where you get your good looks from. But,
you know, traits, yeah, traits, ancestry traits. It's amazing when you go down and you learn so much of yourself from you know, the
Oh, I understand.
From the background that you have, you know, just skill sets, jobs, some even health issues and how people passed away. And just sometimes people get stuck into jobs that they don't want. So you, well, what were their interests, their hobbies? You know, mm-hmm. you start, those are choices. I mean, you know, I mean, if you're stuck in some place because you just got stuck, you know, with job, what were their hobbies? And you find just, it's like, oh, my God, it's like mind-blowing. It's just, it is mm-hmm. such an awakening to go and go down that path and that journey of going through your ancestry and to find what these people did and just their lives. It's, oh, wow. It's... I'm glad I did it, and I could probably do more. You know, maybe I'll pick it up again. But it's mm-hmm. and to share it with my siblings, and just go, you know, you are an engineer, you do this. I mean, and look at all the people who are mechanically inclined or artistically inclined, or a lot of nurses, and I'm like, holy camole! It's like, you know, and they just go, wow, I didn't know, and it just keeps on going from generation to generation, just gets passed on, and it's interesting.
So you're saying it's important to know that stuff.
Yes, I think it's good because that is your DNA. Your DNA, I mean, you know, gets passed. I mean, you carry that with you. I mean,
well, I'm just saying that when we do past lives for people when we're doing those things, it's therapy to help them understand what's going on now to change it. Not to, you know, I've heard people talk about, well, we have diseases in our family that are hereditary. My mom told me this. Oh, we have obesity and heart attacks. I said, no, we don't. We have a bad eating problem. And when you eat certain things, you get heart problems and that kind of stuff. I could trace all of it back to basically being overweight and also saw how people were emotionally and stuff like that. So it was actually therapy for me to change my course to get away from those things. So I actually have a gym in my house. I work out all the time. I change my whole diet because of what I do, what they've gone through and how they've lost people. And when I change that, I've actually changed my life experience. And that means you change. And then when I do past lives for people, it's the ideal saying, okay, you have a certain thing that's going on right now because you're carrying it from a past life. Or even in this lifetime, you're carrying it from a relative when it's not about, like, diseases. The word disease means that your body is not at ease. It's stress and all kinds of stuff. And when you change those things, you actually change the future. You actually change the outcome. So, I mean, I can see your point in the idea of finding these things out. I just wanted to know if we could actually take those and also change them more in a positive way to realize that maybe it wasn't a hereditary disease, it was hereditary thinking. And we can change our thinking to those diseases don't happen to us. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Right, because you know that you are prone to certain things, and if you're young enough, you can dodge it.
Exactly.
Things that you're probably prone to, you can dodge it, which in effect you can make positive changes. And it, you know, and if you have natural abilities that have been passed on, whatever that may be, you can mm-hmm. use that to your advantage.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's
to
useful.
Change the outcome, to exceed your limitations. You're always, like my mom said, she said, we have these limitations. I said, well, it's great. I know that. She goes, why? So now you know you can't go past that. No, I can exceed those. I have to know what they are before I can exceed them. So pass
right.
those limitations. And be better.
Okay.
It's also, it's not the idea of being better. It's the idea of hopefully when you change yourself and you change those things within yourself, you're also an example to everybody else so they can do the same. So you're going to change the future, not just for yourself, but for the people around you. They're going to see that going, well, if he can do it. So those things change. I like that because that's what we do with Path Wise. It's the idea of this is where you came from. If you've lost your free spirit of being Egyptian, now it's your chance to know that you can actually go up. I can realize I had it back then. I can do it now. It's like most people in this lifetime. They have all these expectations when they're 18. And when they get older, they kind of go away from those things. But they can also go back to that memory of being 18, and they can actually look at those expectations and still do them.
Okay.
The world will tarnish you in some ways. The world
yeah.
always says, you have limitations. You can't do that. For example, I was sitting there talking to somebody about doing the incline, and they said, you can't do that. I said, I just came back from doing it. And it was like actually at Christmas Day, and all these other things are going, you know, you're too old. You shouldn't be doing things like that. Says who? Every time someone tells me anything about being too old, I go do it. when someone tells me to go look for information on the internet, I say, why don't you tell me? So it's like opening up. It's like trying to heal and correct communication instead of someone saying, go Google it. Talk about it. Have a conversation, that kind of thing. The same thing with diseases. A lot of diseases can be traced back to just bad nutrition. And when you change it, they actually had this, I saw this article on MS, muscular dystrophy, was it, what's the MS? It's a muscle thing too. I can't remember, it's MS. Well, they actually found out that a lot of people that was diagnosed with MS, it was just too much dairy products in their freaking system and other things. Once they take those out, the symptoms went away. So it was the idea that when they found out what their limitations were, they found out later on, they didn't have any limitations. It was what they were being told by a doctor who was actually a high authority. And people have a tendency to listen to people in those kind of positions when they should be listening to themselves. I was actually with a friend of mine. His girlfriend had a baby, and she was telling the doctor, I feel like this baby's coming down. The doctor said, no, you got a week still to go. She goes, I feel like there's a foot down there, and something's coming out. Guess what? An hour later, they were in the delivery room. She was right. So when people listen to themselves, they can correct any course that they're on. I saw this one lady, I said, your path that you just took, it's only about a foot from the path you should have took. So all you have to do is step over. But you're making it so complicated because you've got to go up this stuff. How do you get rid of negativity? You start focusing on the positive and all the things you want, which actually neutralizes
gratitude. Gratitude. You got to feel gratitude for the things that you have. Yeah.
Right.
It's like people in poor countries are so happy. They have nothing, and they're just so happy. And then you see people from rich countries miserable, and nobody's so miserable.
Can we change those countries? Can we change those countries? Can we change people's perception? Well, I'm just saying, I've seen those situations too, but sometimes negative perceptions can counter gratitude. We've seen people that are very thankful, or even people who pray for people. And I see them still die. And I think it's because their perception is so freaking strong that you're going to die, that overseas is your gratefulness. And basically, it's a free will thing. If you freely, you know, you're saying, well, I free will to think about anything in any way I want. And they do. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just wondering, because I've actually seen people like in Harlem and places like that, if you listen to their mindset, the ones who actually get out don't really feed into what's going on. They start focusing on where they want to be at. Next thing you know, they are. And you have these other people saying, well, that's the way I was born. This is the way it is. There ain't nothing else more. And they never have any more. But it's kind of funny that you have people from the same family. One guy believes that this is all he's destined to do, and the other one says no, and actually uses that as a motivation to get out. So they both changed, but one person changed their perception, was actually helped them to exceed their limitations. The other person just keeps feeding into it. So there's examples all over the place that people's free will can actually work against them because they choose not to think anything else but what they've been taught. I mean, look at psychology. Psychology started out as something simple. But over the years, it's progressed because of other people's perception and put more into it. So it's growing. And it's really a lot of schooling. Too many long years for me. But it's like, if you look at psychology, where it came from, people have actually looked at that and said, you know something? I think there's more to it. And they put their perception into it, which it grew. You know, like bodybuilding. Yeah, a lot of things like bodybuilding, a lot of things started off pretty simple. And a lot of things have changed things. So now we're actually able to exceed our limitations that we had back in the 20s. I mean, we got people, certain people are exceeding everything, world records and that kind of stuff, because they have this visualization in their mind that they can do it. It wasn't, I think it was the first person that actually broke the 1 mile. It was a person who didn't believe that. He just didn't believe anything. He started focusing on time instead of focusing on beating the time. So he started focusing on the thing that would exceed it. But even if it was only by 5 seconds, he started focusing on that instead of focusing on breaking the record. Because the record is like a brick. So when you start focusing on the impossibility or thinking outside the box, you get past it. I've just seen too many people surpass a lot of things that kind of crazy and kind of freak you out. The one thing I was watching, The Secret, and I saw that, it was a guy on there who just started focusing on his perception of what he wanted to be. He crashed an airplane, basically crashed his whole freaking body. Even the doctor kept telling him over and over again, you're never going to walk. You're never going to breathe on your own. You're never going to do anything. So you might as well just sit back and just enjoy your life the way it is. He refused to do that. He started listening to his intuition. And he thought, his perception is, God's talking to me. And he says, this is not what I'm supposed to be. And the more I listen to him and start doing things that are coming to me through my intuition, he changed everything. He told these guys, when he had his plane crash, I think it was Christmas, he's going to be out here by Christmas, which was like 8 months later. And 8 months later, he walked out there. Now, he wasn't walking out like, you know, carefree, whistling, kicking his heels together. He was pretty much still shaky, but he still walked out of that freaking hospital, which blew everybody away. I think doctors have a tendency to feed too much into their books, and they don't think. And they have a tendency to, they don't realize the human spirit. Once you tap into that, you can do anything. I was telling my friend about the ideal limitation. The body will tell you you can't do this, but when you put the spirit behind it, it's amazing what the body can do, because the body is a whole lot stronger than you think. It can surpass anything. It's like, and people say, well, there's one version that got cut in half and that kind of stuff. We don't know what their perception was either. They might have seen themselves as a frail person. But then we see another person, a 110-pound woman, picks up a freaking car to rescue her son. How'd she do it? Realistically, when you look at the body and how she was and what kind of shape she was in,
It's adrenaline. Your adrenaline pumps in.
That's true,
too.
What I'm saying is, right, but the human body
itself. It's like
a panic
button goes off. A panic button goes off in your body. And your adrenaline, you just get like a big dose of adrenaline. That's how that happens. Yeah.
Well, I understand that, too.
It's not a normal event.
I've done body mechanics, and the thing that got me was, the body, the arms that she was picking up should have broken, should have snapped in half because of the way the car exceeded her by 20 times. I understand the adrenaline thing. I'm not saying that. But I think there's more behind it, too. There was this essence that's her son. So we take the adrenaline, but I think we still have to put in that situation where the spirit kicks in and says, nothing is impossible to you. Your child is not supposed to die, so therefore you are the answer. And then she did what she did. I just have a tendency not to look at the physical part as the ideal as the answer. I think it's part of the answer. It's not the only answer. It's like looking at all the combinations. We're three-dimensional, and now they're saying basically we're going to a fourth-dimensional, where we're looking at things where we're seeing people in situations way before we even get there. And even when we get there, we're not speaking any words anymore. We're just knowing people. And because I was talking to this lady that I really like, and I was started telling her the reason I care about her so much is because I care about myself. So therefore, we can understand by the reflection that we reflect each other, that you can see somebody a whole lot quicker. When people feed into the physical, sometimes that's all they see. And they think that love is based on a physical connection. Love is something that you already was. And it's just the ideal being in the right opportunity, right situation to express that to each other. But it's also one of those things when you sit here and tell somebody, if you're very intuitive or spiritual, you have a tendency to see people for who they are. And it goes past what you see. Because a lot of people, they have masks. They portray themselves a certain way because of fears and that kind of stuff. But it's like we're going through this fourth dimensional thing where we're looking past the mask. And that's the thing I get some people to. I get you in trouble with that, because you see people and they kind of freak out. I said, no, what's going on is I'm not freaking anybody out. They're freaking themselves out, and they put that kind of pressure on them, saying, you know, this person said they like me, but it also seems like to me what they're actually saying is, why would this person like me? Because I don't like myself. Just because we can see it and feel it and know it, we're just relaying it to you. Like I was talking to a girl down here at this restaurant, and I gave her a $10 tip, and she's like, I can't take that. I said, why can't you recognize that someone recognizes you and your worth? And they're actually giving you a quick example by giving you money, but they also see something a whole lot more. So just take the 10 and realize what you desire, you deserve. It's the same thing with relationships. It's looking at the situation of the person you're married to as a gift who's actually put you in situations to actually tap into your strengths, more character, the idea of how you deal with things and that kind of stuff, where it didn't come out the way you wanted it to. And it didn't portray that way. You would have done it differently, but you did find a certain strength to actually find a solution. And it worked for you. Because, I was making funny about the freaking family tree where I go, yeah, I did my family tree too. And I realized why I ran away from the tree of nuts, you know. But that's not really far from the truth either. But when you start, sometimes I wonder if I was actually adopted. to be honest with you.
You know what? I bet you a lot of people probably have thought of that.
Well, I'm just saying.
But
I looked
anyway,
at my mom
are you
one
doing?
Day.
Are you going to do any? Are you doing card readings tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
I got two decks here. I got one. It's called the Angel Tarot deck, and then I got another one where it's Angel Tarot. So it's like, which one would you like?
I know what tarot is. I don't know about the other one. What's the other one?
Well, actually, both of them are tarot decks. They're just different. I have one tarot card deck. Well, the reason they call it the Archangel Power deck is because instead of having your traditional names on the cards, they do have it on the higher arcana. But the lower, the minor arcana, it's actually done. Like, instead of having the Nine of Cups, you would have the Nine of Raphael, which is the person behind relationships and healing. But they're both tarot decks.
Regular tarot. I don't understand what the other one is. That's, you know.
Okay.
Whatever, which one you want to do.
Okay, no problem. So we'll just go to the Angel Tarot, which is basically, yeah, just a plain old tarot deck. It's more powerful than that, but I'm just saying, to make it easier for
everybody. Yeah, we'll do what's coming up the next few months or something.
Okay, I'm going to shuffle the cards. All I need you to do. I just need you to, I'm going to shuffle and you're going to tell me when to stop, okay? I'm going to start shuffling now. So just tell me when to stop shuffling. Remember, you're not paying for this, so you can let it shuffle as much as you want.
We'll just sit here for an hour. Okay, stop.
Stop. I'm serious. I was doing readings the other night on this company I work for, and people are like, I was doing my free chat before you even go to a private reading, right? And people are like, stop. I'm going, you realize you're not paying for this. You don't have to do it that way.
Okay. Well, I heard the cards, so you shuffled them a couple of times.
Yes, I did. Now I want to know if you want to cut this deck. I feel like a magician, don't I? Do you want me to cut the deck? Or just leave the way it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, cut the deck.
Okay.
Cut the deck.
But we do like Bugs Bunny, get an axe, the deck is cut. Yeah, I used to watch Bugs Bunny all the time. See, your cards are talking about money. The very first three cards that pop out are the idea, well, it's not the three, but the two. Is the Knight of Pentacles and the King of Pentacles, and then you have the Emperor. When you look at the idea of the Emperor and the combination of the cards, it talks about focusing on you. It also starts focusing on self-employment. So do you have any kind of look at the situation, because there's a lot of green in these cards, also a lot of mountains, which means there's still some healing to be done too as well within yourself. But the two cards are talking about self-employment and the idea of actually putting you in a situation in your own life where you've always wanted to be. Because it talks about you're a generous person, but you're also very professional. You're very responsible, and you have a tendency to denounce yourself in favor of other people. It says you're also very practical, but it talks about the idea of opportunities that are going to be coming to you in the next 2 months. And you need to open up and confidently accept these opportunities because they're coming to you because you put the intention out there. And it actually says when you go into the next year, it talks about being a very successful time for you. Like it's like something that was kind of funny about this. The other day I told someone, you have the Midas touch. And they go, what does that mean? You never heard of Midas? I thought everybody heard about a Midas. Didn't we hear about this when we were in grade school? The guy who could turn everything into gold? I mean, there is another moral to the story because
how
you got out of
control. Is I'm going to turn everything's going to turn to gold next year. I'm going to be very successful.
That's what it's saying. But see, the one thing it talks about, you know, the Emperor and Michael is the idea as you go into the next year to also cut the cords to things that no longer contribute to your happiness. Anything that would get in your way, anything that would come to the surface. Looking at it for something that's going to try to get in your way. So it says get organized, get logical, get structured, get disciplined, but always keep yourself in that leadership role because you are who you are. No matter who or whatever says whatever, you stay true to yourself. Because Midas was a guy who actually turned everything into gold, but it did backfire because he lost touch with himself. He basically denounced himself to have an ability. But what it says in this situation is it's showing because of who you are and the things you've gone through, you're going into a very successful year for yourself. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm starting a new endeavor, and I'm looking to hire someone in the next couple weeks.
Well, it says as we go into the new year, and I get the impression once you cross that threshold tonight, when it hits midnight, where are you at?
California.
Okay, so you got some time. I was going to
guess
you're on the East Coast. I didn't feel like you're on the East Coast because I was I don't get midnight. Because I was focusing on that. But yeah, it talks about the ideal, successful time for you. It's just it's almost like it keeps talking about the ideal. It comes off of the Knight of Pentacles. This actually has association with fairies. Fairies are very, very quick at manifestation, very talented at it, and that's what they're saying. You're at a time in your life right now that you know how to create success. So therefore, when you start getting, there's a bunch of opportunities coming that I get, where it talks about using, stepping in confidence as these opportunities come to you, just realize it's not the idea, which one should I take? That's the leadership part, is talking about getting organized, because all the opportunities that are coming to you can be utilized. It's not a choice. It's the ideal of looking at the pattern and how it's going to fall into place.
Okay, all right, because it's risky. It's risky, you know. I mean, it can blow up in my face.
but the first card talks about.
It's going to cost money. It's going to cost money. So okay, so it's going to be a good outcome.
Yeah. It's just the idea that what you put out there is going to come back, very positive. It also shows unity. But the, like I said before, the first card was talking about successful self-employment. Anything you do on your own, people kind of get kind of crazy with the self-employment because they always think there's always a corporation behind it. No, it's the ideal, the decisions you make for yourself. So the next two cards, I did a little pyramids for everybody, okay? So your next level, your pyramid, is unity and star. The star says it's happy times. So therefore, focusing on the positive, optimistic long-term is you're going to get going because you're on the right path. And then the other one was talking about you need to let go of the traditional viewpoints and methods and start going into a more spiritual organization of listening to your intuition, which actually will get you the success you're looking for quicker than having somebody who's got a lot of qualifications with certain things. Because it shows that you also are a person that can also sought out people, mentors, like-minded friends that can all help you more than going after a qualified person. Because that qualified person is still going by their own perceptions, which are kind of like looking at traditional is actually a contradiction to what you're actually trying to create. And then your final card on the top ten, the top of the pyramid, is actually the Wheel of Fortune. But you've got Archangel Michael in here and Archangel Jophiel. Archangel Jophiel is the angel that allows, we work with this archangel, to help us see the beauty within ourselves, to create the same beauty
Jophiel?
In the other. Archangel
Jophiel.
Jophiel.
How do you spell that?
Jophiel.
Jophiel. I've never heard of that. Okay.
Yes. I even have a book for it, too. Let's see. Jophiel. I usually hurry because I think I'm... we still have another hour. Let's see. Let's see, Jophiel. Here it is, Archangel Jophiel. Jophiel's name means beauty of God. This archangel is known as the patron of artists. But people don't realize what artistic means is to create something. And a business or an endeavor is your creative ability. So a lot of people have actually said that when they're in their creative mode, that's when they feel the closest to God. Because they're creating something, like God did when he created the earth, the heavens and the earth. It's power of thought, you know, you're bringing it down and your passion is behind the whole thing. I mean, it's like I kind of picture God when he did the whole thing, not just the idea of speaking things into reality, but almost like an artist himself with a paintbrush going, yeah, that's good. Because there's a lot of, one thing you notice about the world itself, some people want to focus on the negative part of this earth, but you know, there's so much beauty that could actually counteract all that. And this thing here is talking about as an archangel of art and beauty, he helps us metaphysically and physically. First, Jophiel helps us think beautiful thoughts. We know for a fact that in order to manifest anything, it starts with a thought. So the more you keep those thoughts positive and beautiful, the more likely you're going to create that in your outer world, and then, and plus also within yourself. And it also says to see to appreciate beauty around us, and to therefore create, manifest, and attract more beauty in our lives, even money. I mean, I told this one person the other day, I said, if you don't like money, that's why you don't have any. Any kind of negative or hatred pushes things away. Love will always bring it to you. If you have a freaking addiction, you should love the addiction because it's teaching you something about yourself. And when you love, it empowers. When you hate, it makes you weak. So it's very important with the beauty that she's talking about, that kind of thing too. But this angel can help you with, there's a list of things here, the ideal projects and artists, artistic projects and artists, beautiful thoughts, interior decorating, and slowing down from the hectic pace of this world. So what it does is basically work with this archangel. You've heard that thing before, slow down, smell the roses. This angel puts you in a mode that you intensely slow down because you want to see the beauty of the world. You want to see the beauty of what you're creating. So therefore, you're more successful because you've taken the time to see these things for what they are, then you know exactly what the next step is. So I guess it's like helping you look at the beautiful thoughts and beautiful self and the ideal of realizing what kind of person you are, that you want to slow down and you want to enjoy it. I mean, I started doing the incline, which is like a mile and a half up the side of the mountain. I did it like 2 or 3 times before I actually stopped. And it was my angels telling me to do this. It's, okay, great, you can make it to the top in 35 minutes. But did you decide to take a stop and look at the idea of the beauty behind you, which you haven't done? What the heck? Who in the freaking world wants to call me while I'm on the show? Which is good if you're calling the show. And they're calling me again. I hope she's not going through another freaking situation. Last time she did that, she was fighting with somebody. And I was like, she called me if it was an emergency. I'm sitting there going, but you're in Virginia. I'm in Colorado. What could I have done?
What does the card say about my husband?
They don't. It's all about you.
Oh, okay.
What it's saying is the more you focus on you and creating your life and your career and what you want to do with your life, it actually has a positive effect on everything else. Because all the things you do for yourself, you consider and talk to your husband and she has a balloon in his face. But it seems like the more he looks at you and see the things that you do for your own life, it has a positive change over him. And it doesn't matter if it's never had any kind of positive change over him in the past. We're talking about 2014, talking about New Year, different perceptions and that kind of stuff. That's why I always felt like the ideal is you guys being together, of him denouncing God, is more an infraction within himself. That's why I call it a contradiction, because I think he's lying to himself. He's letting the world and how it's portraying itself to make him believe there's no God. I want some proof. And I think when I started looking at the situation,
I was thinking of giving him the book Killing Jesus. I thought he'd like that. But there's no bookstores, There's no bookstores around here. I'm like, you have to get everything over the internet now. I mean, I love bookstores.
They have a certain
belt
style.
Huh?
They have a certain smell and a certain style. Just a certain personality.
I love the borders. Yeah, I have a border. There's people in it all the time. And, they closed it down. They closed them all down.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous with a lot of things going on right now and the idea of doing what they're doing because it's bullshit. And is that the idea we're talking, I was sort of telling a friend of mine the other day and saying, sometimes it's amazing, isn't it? We have more communicational devices than we've ever had in history. And we actually talk less. We actually communicate less. And that's the reason we're communicating less is because people are putting too much faith in technology and not putting enough faith in themselves and everybody else. So the thing I get the most about relationships right now is people call me and say, am I going to meet anybody? I said, yeah. I keep giving this as you're going to meet somebody. Well, does he want a serious relationship? I said, why don't you ask yourself that question? Instead of sitting there going, okay, is he going to be serious? Because you have a lack of faith in yourself that you can actually attract a worthy person, which if you look at the situation, it's actually reflecting back at your own worthiness that you have about yourself. So I'm saying this is going to build a lot of confidence within yourself, the idea of what you're going to accomplish in the next 6 months. Actually, it talks about a lot of things happening in the next 2 months. Because you see a lot of changes.
Oh, spending the next 2 months. Yeah, I have to get on an airplane. I'm going to be meeting somebody that I'm thinking of hiring to help me. You know, you have to acknowledge what your limitations are. I mean, I can't do everything. I can't be all do all, but you know, I need some help. So I was going to hire someone to help me do some things. So that would be the.
Yeah, it's always good to have confidence to hire up.
Say that.
It's always good to have confidence in yourself when you actually hire up, which means you hire somebody for something you can't do because you just physically can't do it.
Well, yeah, there's only, you know.
You're going to have a lot of positives with this situation.
Also knowledge. I mean, you know, like I hire someone to do my taxes. Well, my husband does my taxes because I'm bad at it, you know, and you hire different people to do different. Yeah, so I needed someone to help me do some things. You know, so that's going to be happening. I got to get on an airplane and go meet her. I got to make an appointment and contact them the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then things are flying. So there would be some stuff to do. So anyway.
Well, it says it's a time for positive change, and it talks about the idea of your situation will suddenly move fat forward very quickly, which means things are falling into place in a positive way. This is another card that talks about fortune is on your side. Might is touch, fortune on your side. So it's the idea. Just listen to yourself, and you can't go wrong. Well, I got a headache.
Yeah. So, anyway, any cards? Can you pull a couple cards to see what they say about my husband?
They don't like him. Anyway. It's not the idea of not liking him because he's not a likable person. It's the idea of he's always...
You know, when you're with someone 25 years, you're going to go through ups and downs and climb mountains. And, you know, there's been moments he's wanted to throw me to the curb, and there's been moments I've wanted to throw him to the curb. And, you know, you go through stuff together, and you know, you go through stuff. We've had a couple family members pass away. You raise kids. Oh my God! You know, stuff happens a lot. You know, this. I mean, you know.
I'm just saying. I've seen couples that kind of contradict the whole thing when people say, "Well, you got to go through all this stuff," and they've gone through a very positive life together. Been together for 35 years. You know.
Oh, we've had our struggles, shall we say. Okay.
Okay. I'm just...
Okay, stop.
Okay. My fingers are getting raw there. Thank you.
Okay. I forgot.
That's okay. We're pulling two cards. Now, the cards came out with just basically the two cards are talking about the King of Air, but it actually talks about the King thinks too much. He needs to start learning how to speak his mind with confidence instead of sitting there feeding the world. The world is not giving me the answers. Guess what? The world never will, okay?
So the cards aren't saying anything.
They're saying the king. That the king of it. When's your... Okay. When is your husband's birthday?
He's a Christmas Eve baby.
He doesn't believe in Jesus. Weird. Anyway, I'm thinking...
Because you're born Christmas. Doesn't mean you believe. I mean, he says there's no proof.
Well, see, I like to look at people like that going, really? So therefore, you put a battery in the ground and a machine that grows a tree. Really? And you can't see that just that spontaneous thing to just happen in this world? Who put that in motion? Like I said before, this individuality is all over the planet. We didn't create that. All the things that we actually think that are science can be traced back to spirituality, back to God, the angels.
Right.
Anything like that. I'm saying it talks about, it puts him in an air sign. Okay, like an Aquarius. If he's a Christmas Eve baby. What is it? It's like on the top.
He's a Capricorn's an earth, Capricorn is an earth sign.
Yeah, he's the 25th, so he's still on the cusp.
Well, the 24th.
Okay, well, the 24th. Well, you know, when Jesus was born, it was at midnight. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'm saying he's part of Sagittarius and Capricorn, which still doesn't put him in the... Because he should be more grounded than he is, because he's a Capricorn. He's good about money, but there's still some limitation. And he's also the Sagittarius, as he's fiery as passion. But it seems like his passion is kind of faltering too as well. So it puts him in a situation of king of air means he's an air sign. Because he focuses and he's in his head too much. He should be seeking out people that can actually give him insight. Which is kind of funny. He does attract people, but he doesn't listen. So he needs to balance his mental and his emotions. In the process of looking for proof, see, that's one thing I was talking about before, too. It's like the idea of getting past all the looking and being fearful that if you don't do something, nothing's going to happen. I guarantee if you just sit back and follow through with your intuition, what you're supposed to do, there's also going to be a point where it's going to say you got to learn how to be, which means there's nothing to do. To reflect, to have fun. What's the other one? To look at what you created up to this point. Where are you going to go this time? You know, what you're going to do? And I just get, when I sit there and look at the person, it's almost like a Gemini, too. And a Gemini is an air sign, which means a person that goes back and forth, has a certain kind of conflict within himself. So it's almost like you can see this guy going, okay, I don't believe in this stuff. I have to have proof. But within himself, he has a twinge of faith. Which he even hears himself
okay.
saying these things. And he feels like, I don't even know how to put it. It's like someone sitting there looking at you, lying to you. They know they're lying to you. And it makes them feel bad inside, but they continue to do it until something comes across their path and says, you don't need to do that. Because people think we have to do something all the time. That's why people go crazy.
So his says he's healthy, he's gonna be, you know, be good with his job, he's gonna be still, we'll still be together next year this time, I'm sure.
It shows a lot of perception is changing to the point, yes, you will be. Because you see the card, the third card, I would pull two, but I pulled the third one just to sit there and see what up. And it's a releasement card. Release and let go.
Oh, he's going to release and let go of me?
Yeah. Actually, the card is actually representing everybody as we cross the threshold and going into the new year. It's an end of a phase, so therefore it's time to move on, to let go of that. And that's why you have Archangel Azrael, which has actually been called the Angel of Death. It's because we have to have a death to what's already happened, because in some ways it's still alive. Which means let go. Releasement means let go of everything that happened this year. And look at the new year. As you go into the new year, like this is the first year you ever lived, except you're an adult. Let go of everything. And people go, that's kind of crazy. Why is it crazy? Because that's what everybody's looking for. How do I let go so I can actually have a good year? And it's just saying that you just honor things as they surface and say, yes, I did think that, I did do that, but we're past that, and you let it go.
So he's going to let go of some things and we're going to get closer, or he's going to just let go of me and move on? What do you mean by let go?
Release means it's just let go this year. And the thing about closeness, because the more you focus on what you're doing right now, your career, your kind of thing, living your life, I actually see him getting closer to you.
Okay.
It's just a really key to actually, I've seen people do this before where they're sitting around waiting for things to happen. Nothing ever happens unless there's action behind it, which waiting is a contradiction.
Okay.
Wow. It's one of those things, sometimes things don't make sense until you're actually in the action of doing it, and then it comes forward. So it's because it's the action that brings to the light.
Because I was wondering if he's going to come get sick or something.
He's going to what?
I was wondering if he was going to get sick or something.
I don't get sick.
You don't get sickness?
No, I get there's a lot of releasements happening, not just for you, but in the first month for him. A lot of those things he's hanging on to would cause any kind of sickness, the idea of stress. Because I don't see anything in this next year. I don't see nothing. As in sickness, if you want to sit here and talk about anything, they could be simple, but I don't see anything major.
Okay. because he's got health issues, and you know, he sometimes takes care of himself and sometimes he doesn't, and he does what he wants to do and he doesn't always listen, and you know,
well, it seems like he's going to be more receptive in the next year.
He might be forced.
Okay. I'll just say, maybe forced, but he'll be more open to it. And I mean, you know, his resistance, you don't see that going away anytime soon.
Okay.
So have a good time.
He's had some health issues, and he doesn't manage them very well, and the consequences of not managing his health issues can be very major.
I'm just saying, when you correct certain things in his own perception, the body will work accordingly too as well. Nothing's permanent. People like to make it seem like they are, but like I said before, I've just had too many experiences where people thought things couldn't change health-wise, and were very baffled when it did. And it was just the ideal, first and foremost, was letting go of stress. Stress is something that people don't realize is man-made. Stress is not
right. Something
like an energy. It's something that we put upon ourselves. Like when we sit here and focus on, I have to take the weight of the world on because I don't think they're responsible enough to do it themselves. You put that upon yourself. You also put that weight upon your body, which is stress. And your body will eventually break down. It's like with relationships. You can have a really positive person in a relationship, but the negative one is going to be the one that's going to break it down. And I feel like in this next year, the things that you do in a positive way will be very constructive for him to do the same. So it's not what you say, it's what you do for yourself.
Okay.
It's like I told a lady the other day, okay, it's like this. A mirror can do nothing else but reflect. That's what it was made to do. And the body was made to heal itself. As long as you allow those parameters to be so it can actually heal itself. So the more things that you do for yourself gives him the energy to do the same thing for himself. And you'll start, now I get the impression you'll definitely see a change in his health in a better way.
Well, you know, he's got a very stressful job, and sometimes, like, his head, there's so much pressure in his head with, you know, he has high blood pressure sometimes, and he has so much pressure in his head, he just feels it throbbing, and it gets into his joints and in his hands and feet, and that's not a good sign. He gets into a lot of stress, a lot of deadlines and things, and so I worry about him. And then he has a lot of stomach issues, and there's other lot of issues that he has that he doesn't manage well at times that can have major consequences.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant when I said
I'm just saying that the way that things go, you can always trace it back to 85 to 95% of stress-related things. If you could find a way of looking at things in a more humorous way, trying to find a different way of approaching all these things. Because when you say, a person focuses and says, I have a deadline, I got to get this done now, they're feeding into a fear. A fear will cause that kind of stress too as well.
Well, when you have a job and it got a boss breathing down your neck, it's like...
That's an example of why you should be self-employed. To save yourself your health.
And you got bills to pay, so you got to deal with it. Oh, okay. Sometimes I worry about him, and, you know, so anyway. And I was just wondering if
that's
he was... Okay, that's what I was just asking you. On him, you know, and if we were going to get closer or whatever, you know.
No problem.
Okay. I see a lot of other people in the room. They've got more callers on hold, waiting.
No, I don't have any callers at all. There's people in the chat room. They're in the chat room.
You got 12 people in the chat room.
I know. I'm going, hey, guys, do you accept call psychic? Okay,
yes.
Yeah, we accept calls. So what you got to do is call 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. And we'll get you on the show as quick as possible, answer all your questions. We still got approximately, let me go back to this, we still have over an hour and 19 minutes left for the show. So give us a call. We'll be glad to answer all your questions. And Happy New Year to everybody in the chat room, too, as well. And I got this thing going on for the new year. And if you want to get a private reading with me, it's only $1 a minute. Because this is all I do. I have a psychic shop downtown. I work for a couple of psychic sites, and I do this. And it's one of those things where I have an idea.
You have a shop downtown. What downtown where?
Manitou Springs, Colorado.
Oh, you're in Colorado. You can smoke marijuana now.
You know something? We got more going for us in Colorado than just smoking freaking weed, okay, guys? Because I don't. So if you don't, you got someone to talk to.
I was just being funny. I have a girlfriend in Colorado.
Don't just say it. So it's like, there's a shop down here that has a shirt. It says, "Hey, dude, I think everybody in this town is high." What it is, it's
you're
a joke.
You're gonna sell marijuana like cigarettes, and at the 9/11 store, whatever you call them.
Right. Also, I want to sit here and tell everybody, if you're in the chat room and you'd like to ask a couple questions, we'd rather for you to come on the show so we can actually give you a full reading. But if you want to ask a couple questions in the chat, we usually leave the questions at 2. Because I don't like typing.
And you know what? Your was pretty accurate because, you know, with the stuff that's going on, I mean, the next couple of months, it's going to, things are going to go boom, 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 boom. You know, once I hire this person that I have in mind, I'm hoping that she takes it. So, you know, I've had a hard time finding somebody because they look at me and they go, "What?" You know, so at least she's,
yeah, you
got to
find it. You got to find that person in your own mindset before you can accomplish anything.
Right.
They do exist.
So, you know,
you're finding that out, too.
Okay.
All righty.
All right, you got a caller on hold now?
Now I got 4. Thank you.
All righty, I'll let you go, and Happy New Year.
Happy
and
New Year
to
you.
Else.
Thank you. You know, thank you for
Happy
coming on the show.
New Year. Okay,
Happy
thank
New Year.
You.
You're welcome.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye
now. All right, let's go to our next caller. Right. Whoa. Let's go. Okay, what? Okay, here we go. It's, okay, try this one more time. There you go. It's actually what it is. It looks like a Skype number. It's ECW5854. You're on the show right now. What's your name and where are you from? Hello? ECW. Hi, how are you? What's your name and where are you from? Well, since our time is very valuable, we'll put you back on hold. Maybe something will change. All right, let's go to our next caller. That call is area code 910. Hi, how are you? What's your name and where are you from?
Hi there. My name is John. I'm from North Carolina.
North Carolina, John. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I have to lie to you because everything's going fantastic. Awesome. So, John, what can we help you with tonight, relationship-wise?
I've had a rough past few months and wanted to know, you know, what's in store for me, you know? Do you know what my 2014 is going to be like?
Your 2014 is going to be, sometimes people got to realize one thing. You make your reality. You make what's going on in your life. Every freaking thing that ever happened to you in your whole life is because of the decision you made. Okay? But I could keep getting a very positive mindset and a very positive year. It's like, look at the situation, the things that you think that are impossible. And the next year, it's almost like in the next 2 months, you're going to get a different perception of realizing the things that you want that you can really have, or as I always put it, you deserve what you desire. You just have to determine what that is.
So does that mean that...
Go ahead. I'm saying what? Hello? Hello? Well, that was weird. Hello? Are you there? Oh, he got kicked off. Okay. How did that happen? You there, John? Hello? Let's try this one. Hello, E. This is ECW. Hello, how are you? ECW. ECW? ECW dropped out, too. All right, let's go to Justo Gibbs. Welcome to the show.
Hey,
how are you? What's
how's it going?
How's it going? Interesting, let's put it that way.
Well, I'd just like to start off with saying happy... Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Just before we start this, like, I actually call in to psychics a lot, believe it or not, and I always like to, oh, something's going on. Cops are going down the road. But, yeah, would I be able to pray with you before we start? Okay. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize I can't fucking do this.
Well,
you're a joke,
night.
Bro. You're a joke.
Really, you're a joke too, Seki. You can say whatever you want to, but okay, guys. It's, oh, my gosh.
Oh,
there
yeah.
You go. Wait, is it you again?
Hello. Hello. I'm jacking off to your voice. Oh, my God.
Good
I want
for you, buddy.
Cheese pizza.
I'll say one thing for you, man.
Hey, come on. Oh, my God.
Oh, good job, buddy. Thank you. All right. Live? Hello?
What's up?
Not much.
How you doing, man?
What?
Are you able to do a reading for me? Because I got a resolution for the New Year's, but it's just something I can't accomplish myself. I need help from a higher authority, if you know what I mean.
I think so.
I got this loving lady. Well, she used to be loving anyway. I want to be with her, you know. I want to make things work, but she's too demanding, and she always yells at me and stuff. I know the Bible says I should... Well, I'm not sure if you're a Christian. I don't want to bring Bibles into this.
I don't bring nothing into this anymore. Just clear it out for a little bit. Look at the ideal and say, I wish that things were a whole lot better and the ideal of getting true people who really want some assistance and advice and help. With some advice, they can actually help themselves. The next time I hit, it's like people talk about being a joke. You know something? I got more important things to do than sit here and call somebody's show to just sit there and be a joke. So if you want to call back in and sit there and talk about these things, in the idea of being serious, that's great. If you don't, I'm not going to deal with you. I'm going to look at this situation like this. When I sit there and look at the situation, let's sit there and do this. Thank you. Chat room has been closed down permanently. We're going to go to a caller, and I guarantee you, you don't want to be any kind of thing but serious, realistic, and honest. Because if you're not, I might take my air horn and blow your freaking ears out. Okay? So I'm warning you ahead of time. Before we go any further with the show, which I think we're going to take a freaking break so I can actually go outside and scream for a minute. Okay? Thank you. And we'll be right back after this. Nice little song by Kansas called Child of Innocence.
Became of our league. Are you?